So the ludological topic this week is grinding, and it's not that big of a topic as we did in other times, but I think it's an important one because it's used in a lot of games, like in probably more than you think of from the top of your head, and it has a really bad rep, and that's not like as you can see here. There's a lot of people who make fun of grinding, but it serves its purpose. And I want to go over why people put it in, what are the benefits of it, and also because I also think it's not the best thing, and especially if you think about an aging population, or not aging population, but an aging demographic of gamers. The older the gamer, the less time he has, and the less likely he is to grind, because like if you have less time, you want to have actually fun playing the game. Like there are aspects of grinding that can be fun, but a lot of them are just not. And so I think it's important if you think that your user group will be a little bit older, that you reduce the number of grinding or completely have no grinding. But having no grinding is basically impossible. So first off, what is grinding? As the term used in video games, as you can see here, it's basically just a repetitive task, which means like doing something over and over again. I think we all know what it is. I just wanted to put it here. So it just has to be a repetitive task. It doesn't say that it doesn't have to be fun or anything. It's just a repetitive task. Like as you can see here, the mining is a classic example of that, or just everything related to what is it called? To work in RPGs, basically. Yeah. So, what are the benefits of grinding? Well, first off, it can increase the immersion. I think that's something that people underestimate a little bit. Like, if you think about basically like the mining that we had before, or crafting items. That's a lot of grinding stuff you need to do, and people love it right now. Like, people love crafting, and it takes a lot of time, and you could say it's very grindy because you always need to do exact the same things. You need to gather the stuff. It's not challenging for the most part, but that's not definition of grinding. I'm just saying that it's not challenging. That's why I don't like it as much. But people really like to do stuff only dated to Selbstverwirklichung. That's the German word. I need to think about the English word. To basically make something only dated, or to make their character their own. Basically, change appearance or change what they are doing to just reflect them. Basically, I just can't describe it because I cannot find the correct word here. Anyway, so. In that way, it will help increase the immersion because if you do that, like you will identify more with your character, and that actually helps a lot. It also can give you decisions to make, long-term decisions to think about. Like if you the crafting example is a great one again. Like if you have different recipes, there might be like the grind itself might be just there to make the decision more meaningful. That's basically what I wanted to say. Like the thing is, if you had a game, like say a crafting game, where you could always do all the recipes all the time, it would just be boring. You cannot just have everything available to everyone, and so you need to have some kind of way to limit that in order to get to meaningful decisions or have the player make decisions. And like most of the time, it is restricted by time. If you want the player to increase over time, you basically have to restrict it by time. Like if you want the player strengths to increase over time, you automatically get like some kind of grinding. Like unless you would do like everything something new, but like you also want the player to increase skill, so you kind of need grinding in these cases anyway, right? So I think these are the biggest benefits of grinding. Obviously, there's another one, which is from a game developer standpoint. If you don't have any grinding, you will need a lot of content. And what it means in other way around is basically grinding helps you to keep the player longer in the same content, engaged if you don't overdo it. Like, okay, obviously, if you just let them do everything all the time the same, that's not fun. But you can basically give them more or less the same to do, or exactly the same to do, but with different settings maybe, or just the same to do for a little bit of time, and then you basically increase your overall time the player spends. And it's an important factor. I know that in the past, people really overestimated it, and it's like right now at a point where a lot of people say time is not really that important, but I actually think it is. Like, a lot of people will extrapolate their value out of the time they spend. And if you do a little bit of grind, a little bit more of grind, it can actually add up to like maybe half an hour if you don't overdo it, obviously. And that actually makes a lot of difference. Like, if you, or 1 hour even, like if you have a 4 or 5 hour game, people will be more likely to spend more money on your 5 hour game. It's just a fact. Like, people will compare games to the time they get with it. That's just how it is. I know it's not really fair, but you need to keep that in mind if you're developing games. And I think it's also not completely unfair. Like, obviously, most of the time I always say games are a great deal. But still, like, if you say, like, oh, I paid $60 for this game and I only spent 5 hours or 4 hours with it, compared to other games, that might not be great. If you had the best time of your life, like for me, I'm not that kind of person, but I'm saying I can kind of understand where people are coming from, especially if they have limited budgets. So just keep that in mind. So I'm not a huge fan of grinding. I'm older. That's why I am called the next part here making it suck less. Because I actually think grinding sucks for most of the part. The entire episode idea came up because I'm kind of frustrated that I cannot play any role-playing games anymore because there's just too much grinding going on, too much stuff. It's just way too much time I need to spend on playing them. And I actually like playing those kinds of games. I actually really enjoy them. So I figured, why is it that I'm not willing to spend these times in role-playing games? What makes the difference for me? Like, why is that? And so one thing I came pretty quickly up with, or what are the games that I'm willing to spend more time on doing different than other games? Like, and the basic thing I came up with these kinds of games is that, first of all, obviously you need a lot of variety, like in Skyrim. But that only gets you so far. Like, I'm a person who doesn't play Skyrim that much. I did play it with my girlfriend, but not that much. And so I think variety and like the exploration, but it's also kind of grindy anyway. So, but that gets you only so far. What other games like a Wizard's Lizard or other roguelikes do basically is they will vary the grind so that the task is not that repetitive. Like, basically it is still more or less the same, but it's not quite the same. So it's like a little bit better. Like, the entire idea is that you from a roguelike perspective, it's actually kind of like it's very indie friendly in that sense, because like you have one kind of content and people play it over and over again, and you just try to make the content be more replayable. So this podcast actually should be pretty useful for people who make roguelikes. Because these kinds of ideas that I'm going to present will be very helpful for roguelikes. So I think that's the basic thing that people do if you do grinding, is like making different skins for it, making it more varied, which comes at a cost. Like, the main problem with having a lot of content is that it kind of defeats the benefits of grinding. Like I said before, that one really big thing about grinding is that you don't need to make that much content, but if you make a lot of content to make the grind suck less, you kind of obviously you can still prolong it, but it's like not really what you want to achieve with grind, because like there's obviously also the pacing aspect of grinding, which I went over before. You cannot make everything just available at the same time, but you don't necessarily need to grind to give them a lot of time in your game. You just need the time itself, and it doesn't have to be spent grinding. You can do other things. But when I was thinking about all that, what I actually noticed is that I don't have a problem grinding in multiplayer games. And that was really, it really struck me when I thought about it. It was really interesting to me because basically, if I look at Rocket League. Oh my God, what's going on? I think I need a little bit of water here. So, if you look at Rocket League, you're basically doing the same thing over and over again. Like, to be honest, it's like very grindy in that sense. Like, it's more grindy than most of RPGs. Like, there is literally almost no variation to Rocket League. Like, obviously, there is different stuff going on. Every game is different in that sense. But it's still, like, very linear. The content is 100% the same basically every time. There's only different skins. There are some arenas by now a little bit different, but like for most part, it's just always the same. And the only thing that changes are the players you play against and their behavior. And so when I thought about this, I was like, that's so interesting. Why is it that people are not able to translate this back into other games? Why on earth can I play Rocket League over and over and over again and still have a great time every time, but if I play for an hour in a grindy game, I get bored? That it really struck me because it's very weird, because it's very much the same. And so I thought about it. Like the first obvious thing to say is you're competing against humans, so you kind of get this status. Basically, if you defeat another human, you basically rank up in status. And because we are in a competitive environment, in a competitive society, people love that. I heard a podcast, I think it was Extra Credits, where, but I'm not sure, like, I hope I don't say it wrong, but where they basically talked about that the behavior changed in some ancient. It was not Extra Credits, it was. I think it was Ludology. Yes, it was Ludology. Ludology, the podcast. By the way, a great podcast. Go listen to it if you don't listen to it. So, basically, what they said is, once the society in, not in Greece, in, I don't know. It doesn't really matter. But it was like Greece, the island before Greece. I don't remember the name right now. But once the society shifted from a non-class-based society to a class-based society, the behavior in gaming also shifted. And what that meant is that before, where there were no classes, where basically people were more or less equal, or maybe had a difference but could not really rank up, or basically didn't have really ranks, people played more at home games. Oh God, what's going on today? So they played the games more at home, and once they introduced the class-based system, what happened is that people started playing in public places, similar to like chess players sitting in a park. And the reason they thought it would happen is that basically they wanted to God. They wanted to increase their status by showing how great they are in the game. God, what's going on? Basically, increase their performance. Increase their status by a performance. That's what I wanted to say. So yeah, I think that's very interesting, and that also applies to a game like Rocket League. Even though you don't really see the other persons, it's still always like if you play against a human player, you feel like you defeated a real human. And like that kind of makes you increase or make you think of you in a better way. What I also thought is very interesting and very important for that discussion is that basically the games are never the same. And what I mean by that is not that the mechanics are the same, but every time I play Rocket League, the because it's controlled by a human, he will actually behave differently every time. And so I need to really think about how I'm playing, and especially in a game like Rocket League, where split seconds matter, where there's also a lot of luck, as I already talked about in Rocket League, but the always changing behavior of the other players will have me always need to adapt in a way, and that also makes it more interesting. And that is not achieved by more content. That's basically could be achieved by AI. And that's what I'm coming to right here. So the basic idea is the status part I maybe come back later to, but what I wanted to talk about first is the AI patterns or attack patterns. Like, if you think about that, what I just said about Rocket League, the status we cannot easily adapt, or like there are ways, but it's like not, it's a different thing. But if you think about the AI, we can actually create an AI that does what I just described. It's just not done usually in games because there are a lot of reasons. But I think if you really nail an AI that does this, you will actually get very far. Like, first of all, what you really need to do is, even if you always change the strategy, you kind of need a rating system so that you know that although the strategy changes, you know how strong your enemy is or the player is, so that you can adjust the difficulty accordingly. Like, at least have like the three difficulties in AI. Like, but then what you need to do is you need to basically change the behavior every time so that the player needs to react and cannot just learn the game inside out. Because that's what makes these games boring. The problem is that you actually learn how the AI is behaving and then you just beat the AI. And that's like, that can be rewarding in of itself, but what I'm talking about, it actually should be more rewarding if you can outthink the AI. The problem is, like on your feet, like basically just improvise all the time. I think that's a really important thing. And but the problem is, if you make the AI too strong, people will just not like it, because like they want to have a challenge and they want to improvise and they want to feel great for beating the AI. But they don't want to spend like too much effort on the AI, because like it's just an AI. So I'm not quite sure if this will work perfectly, but I think it should work really good if you change the pattern all the time. And I can give you examples on how you could achieve that in even ways that are not that complicated for games. Like, if we think about roguelikes, yes? So in normal roguelikes, what usually happens is they will change the they will change which kind of enemies are in a room. Like, in a basic roguelike, like, let's say Enter the Gungeon. They will have, let's say, the guy who shoots a shotgun and the guy who normally shoots, yes? And maybe a guy who can block. Like, I'm just saying stuff. It doesn't really matter if, like, I don't know if there's a guy that blocks in, I'm not sure, it doesn't really matter. But let's say there would be a guy that can block shots. Or there's also a guy who's chasing you. Like, let's say that. So, and what they do is, by scrambling these up, they basically will have an emerging pattern out of these that you need to beat. Like, okay, now I need to beat the guy who's always following me, and the shotgun guy, and the guy who's shooting me. And because they all combine together, you basically get a different attack pattern. But what they could do, in addition to that, not instead, but in addition, they could change the way these people behave. It doesn't have to be huge. Like, let's say you have the shotgun guy and the shooting guy. So what you could do is, in one instance, you can make the shotgun guy always go close to the player and be really aggressive, and the other guy going as far away as possible from the player. And in another instance, maybe they stick together and the shotgun guy is just close to the shooting guy, and so you will have to run to them and then shoot. And in another instance, maybe they will split off on opposite sides, and you can do interesting different attack patterns with just these two very simple and equal opponents or enemies. And you, if you once you plan your game around interactions like that, you can actually increase the amount of interactions like this by a lot. Like, let's say you have a guy who can bump the player away. Like, there's a lot. It is very different to play against a very aggressive one, or one that just tries to protect one enemy, or maybe just tries to protect one area. You could even go as far as protecting one area, and one player is o and the enemies are always trying to move around that area. Stuff like that can be very interesting and can generate a lot of very interesting gameplay without actually having to have more content. Because what these roguelikes right now are doing most of the time, at least the ones I played, I'm not a roguelike expert by the way, so, but I'm just saying, is usually what they do is just generating combinations so that you need to learn the pattern against a certain combination. But if you change up the behavior, like even if you would say like it is already different if you change the distance they keep from you, or maybe you can also change like small stuff like how fast they move, like stuff like that, like maybe you can, like not maybe how fast they move or how much they move, stuff like that can be very interesting, and like dodging and all that stuff, like how it's moving and all that stuff. If you change that stuff up, you can get very interesting gameplay that will reduce the pain of the grind, because you're still doing more or less the same. You're playing still against the same enemies. You still have the same goals, but you get the same benefits that you have in Rocket League, that it's not just like this, oh, I solved this already. Why am I playing this again? Like that's the biggest problem in roguelikes I have. Like it's like I can already beat this. It is boring to me to play again. I know I can beat this. I beat this most of the time. I don't want to play it again. And like if you, it doesn't solve it perfectly, because like in roguelikes, by their design, you will probably have a progression that makes them harder over time, and that actually is not really that actually will lend itself automatically to like this little bit boring gameplay unless you let them skip over stuff. There are stuff and ways to get around this, obviously, and I don't wanted to make this about roguelikes. I just wanted to mention it quickly. So another thing you can do, which is about the immersion that I said before. Like this stuff only applies basically to gameplay itself, but like what if you want to have what if you want to have crafting? Like crafting just that's just the way it is, right? You cannot do anything about crafting. Like they need to get their stuff and then combine it. But the question is, what is the thing you are getting by doing crafting? Like, first of all, obviously you get the benefit or the drawback that people who just put in more time get better stuff. And like, for my argument right now, I will say I don't want it in my games. It can be very good at attracting a certain kind of player. I will not even say casual players, because that's not true. Like, it is probably even more the hardcore players who enjoy grinding more, because like they like to spend time in their games and then they like to get rewarded, and it's completely fine. I'm just saying, for me, I'm not that interested in that, and so I thought about how can I actually make the games that I have something similar to crafting, what crafting does to a game, but without having actually crafting. So what I came up with, or the thing that I think was thinking about, is basically having some kind of quests instead of having to get these items. Like instead of having to go to places and collect certain items, you can ease or get better at a certain skill and doing stuff over and over again. You can give basically quests. Side quests can earn you these options, and these side quests are not like we usually know, like, oh, do this quest and get this item, but you could go to a character and say, by the way, I would like to have this item with these stats, like as you would do in a normal crafting scenario. And the merchant would tell you what he needs, but instead of like these 10 irons and stuff, he would tell you where you need to get certain other things that are more rare. So this way you can have the player play, have more fun in your game, basically. And now I lost my train of thought. You can basically have the player play the game itself more and not doing the crafting. Yes. So that's my thought on that. What I wanted also to say, I don't know, that's already the last one, yes. Ah, no. There's another thing with the customization that comes with crafting. What you can do, and actually there are games that do that without making it suck that much, is if you want to have people just by spend a lot of time in your game and have actually some possibilities to deliver content, especially like models and stuff, you can do stuff like housing, which does not affect the gameplay itself, but people can basically create their own stuff, or like what I said before, like basically I still don't know the word, but express themselves basically inside the game and spend that way a lot of time, but not really feeding back into the main mechanic of the game, which will make people feel like they need to do the grind. Like it is, I actually think it's fine if you have stuff for that for just cosmetic reasons. Like it is fine to have crafting that just changes your looks. Then you can have people who want to do that, and they should go ahead and be able to do that. That's fine. But if you feed it back to your main mechanic, you will basically create a system where people kind of feel like they have to grind. And I think that's not a good thing. So the last thing I want to mention before I finish up here is that the one thing that I actually missed in the slides is the status stuff. And there are obviously already solutions for this. Like in single player games, there are high scores and ladders and stuff like that to also give you status, which is basically the equivalent to a multiplayer status thing for single player games. So I don't have anything special to say about this. I just wanted to mention it for completeness sakes, that's a possibility you can go, and I actually think it's a good possibility. Having a high score is, like, I'm actually implementing one right now for my game, so it's not without effort, but actually I think it will help increase the fun that people have in your game, and also increase the time that people spend, and like making people compete against each other without having to implement multiplayer is a great way to increase playtime, increase fun, and also increase people talking about your game, because that's also really important. Once you have a high score, people can compete with each other, and like by virtue of multiplayer, that's how multiplayer games, I think, or that's one big factor of multiplayer games, that it's great to talk about stuff like that. There are other things that are also great to talk about, like levels, or how you skill a character, how you look, what you achieved in a certain game, telling stories. But another thing is competing against each other. How good are you? What did you do? What was your strategy? How did you achieve it, like physically? Stuff like that. So with that out of the way, I wanted to say once again thank you all for watching this. Thanks for everyone who subscribed. If you want to subscribe to my YouTube channel. You are already there, so just click like and subscribe. Also go to Facebook and search for Will Glow the Wisp and follow me there. I'm not having a lot of followers on Will Glow the Wisp. It would be nice if you would think about subscribing there. It would also be nice if you take a look at my homepage. You will also be able to get news there, and also on Facebook and on Twitter and everywhere else. You want to go IndieDB, wherever. So once again, thanks for watching, and Bye.